I hereby bequeath the Ashford Mansion on condition that they live together.
Edward Ashford believed the worst day of his life was finally over. His father had been buried that morning. The mourners had gone home, the black carriages had disappeared beyond the gates of Ashford Manor, and for the first time in weeks, silence had settled over the vast estate. Standing alone beside the library window, Edward watched the fading afternoon light stretch across the grounds his family had owned for generations. The funeral had exhausted him, but not because of grief alone. Richard Ashford had never been an easy man to understand. He had been respected throughout the county, admired by his tenants, and feared by many of his rivals. Yet as a father, he had often frustrated Edward with his stubbornness and mysterious decisions. Still, despite their disagreements, Edward had loved him. And now he was gone. The responsibility of Ashford Manor rested entirely on Edward's shoulders. Or so he thought. An hour later, he entered the family library expecting nothing more than a routine reading of the will. Several family advisors sat around the long oak table. The estate solicitor organized a stack of papers. A few distant relatives whispered quietly among themselves. Edward took his seat at the head of the table. The future seemed simple. His father had left everything to him: the manor, the lands, the investments, the title. There was no reason to expect surprises. Then the solicitor began reading. At first, everything proceeded exactly as Edward had anticipated. The estate would remain under Ashford ownership. Charitable donations would continue. Certain servants would receive pensions in recognition of decades of loyal service. Then the solicitor reached the final section. His voice suddenly became more cautious. As stated by His Grace Richard Ashford, the entirety of Ashford Manor, all associated estates, and all financial holdings shall pass to his son Edward Ashford under one condition. The room became still. Edward frowned. One condition? He had never heard his father mention any condition. The solicitor adjusted his glasses. His Grace Edward Ashford must reside under the same roof as Miss Clara Whitmore for a period of 1 year beginning immediately after the reading of this will. Silence crashed over the room. Nobody moved. Nobody spoke. Even the ticking grandfather clock seemed louder than before. Edward stared at the solicitor. For several moments, he genuinely wondered whether the man had misread the document. Then he laughed. Not because he found it amusing, but because the absurdity of it was almost unbelievable. Read that again. The condition states that His Grace must reside under the same roof as Miss Clara Whitmore for 1 full year. And if I refuse, then all property, financial assets, and estate holdings shall be transferred to the Ashford Charitable Foundation. But inside, anger was beginning to boil. Because among all the names his father could have chosen, there was only one name capable of provoking such a reaction: Clara Whitmore. At the time, everyone assumed they eventually would. They had grown up together. Played together as children. Read books beneath the same trees. For years, Clara had been the center of every future Edward imagined. Then everything changed. Without warning, she ended their engagement. Without explanation, she disappeared. Without apology, she walked away from the life they had planned together. Weeks later, Edward saw something he would never forget. A wealthy aristocrat's carriage stopped outside a small hotel in London. Clara stepped out. The older nobleman followed behind her. Edward watched from across the street. Then he saw the man hand Clara a heavy leather pouch. Money. A great deal of money. And Clara accepted it. At least that was what Edward believed he had seen. From that moment forward, he convinced himself of a painful truth. Clara had chosen wealth over love. She had sold their future. And she had never looked back. 8 years later, the bitterness remained. Perhaps not as sharp as before. But still alive. Still capable of hurting. What is it? Miss Whitmore has arrived. Someone had undoubtedly informed her about the will. Perhaps she had known all along. Perhaps this entire arrangement had been planned years ago. The thought only made him angrier. Then the library doors opened. And Clara Whitmore walked inside. For the first time in 8 years, Edward saw her again. The strange thing was that she looked almost exactly as he remembered. Her brown hair was pinned neatly beneath a simple hat. Her posture remained graceful. Her features still possessed the quiet beauty that once made it impossible for him to look away. Yet something had changed. There was sadness in her eyes now. A weariness that hadn't existed before. For one brief second, Edward almost felt sympathy. Then he remembered the past. The sympathy vanished. How convenient. Good afternoon, Edward. I suppose congratulations are in order. I don't understand. My father dies and suddenly your name appears in his will. I knew nothing about the condition. Of course you didn't. For some reason, that irritated Edward even more. He wanted an argument. He wanted outrage. He wanted proof that she was lying. Instead, Clara simply looked tired. And somehow that made him feel like the unreasonable one. He hated that feeling. If she had spent years scheming for wealth, why did she own so little? The suitcase looked old. Her clothing was modest. There were no expensive jewels. No signs of luxury. Nothing about her appearance matched the image he had built in his mind over the years. Fortunately, resentment was easier than doubt. He met her personally in the entrance hall. If we're going to survive this arrangement, there will be. Very well. You are not permitted inside my study. Understood. You will not interfere in estate. Business. Of course. You will not involve yourself in my personal affairs. A brief silence followed. Then Clara answered softly. Edward found himself becoming increasingly frustrated. Why wasn't she fighting back? Why wasn't she defending herself? Why wasn't she behaving like the selfish woman he had spent 8 years hating? The questions followed him throughout the day. And he disliked every one of them. Near midnight, Edward left his room and wandered through the silent corridors of Ashford Manor. Eventually, he stepped outside. The air was cool. Moonlight covered the gardens in silver. As he crossed the grounds, he noticed a faint light glowing from inside the manor's glass conservatory. His frown deepened. Who would be there at this hour? Curiosity led him closer. Then he saw her. Clara sat alone among the roses. She hadn't noticed him. The conservatory was empty except for her. No audience. No observers. No one to impress. For several moments, she simply stared at the flowers. Then Edward noticed the tears. One slipped quietly down her cheek. Then another. And another. She wasn't sobbing. Wasn't seeking attention. She simply sat there in silence while tears fell onto her folded hands. The sight caught Edward completely off guard. For a brief moment, instinct urged him to enter. To ask what was wrong. To ask why she looked so lonely. To ask the questions he had spent 8 years refusing to ask. Then the memory returned. The carriage. The money. The betrayal. The humiliation. His expression hardened. He turned away. As he walked back toward the manor, he forced himself to ignore the uncomfortable feeling in his chest. After all, Clara Whitmore had always been talented. If anyone could pretend to be innocent, it was her. And as the conservatory disappeared behind him, Edward convinced himself of one final thing. She was still acting. The following weeks were far more difficult than Edward Ashford had expected. When he had agreed to honor the condition in his father's will, he imagined the year would be little more than an inconvenience. Clara would remain in one wing of the manor. He would remain in another. They would avoid each other whenever possible, endure 12 uncomfortable months, and then part ways forever. Unfortunately, Ashford Manor was not large enough to make that plan practical. Sooner or later, their paths crossed. At breakfast. In the library. Along the garden paths. During estate dinners. And every encounter left Edward more unsettled than the last. Not because Clara was difficult. Quite the opposite. She never challenged him. Never demanded anything. Never attempted to take advantage of her position. She simply existed within the manor with a quiet dignity that somehow irritated him more than open hostility ever could. The woman he remembered from 8 years ago should have been ambitious, manipulative, and selfish. The woman living in Ashford Manor seemed nothing like that. And Edward did not know what to do with the contradiction. A group of village children had gathered outside the servants' entrance, seeking shelter from the weather. Normally, they would have been sent home immediately. Instead, Clara appeared carrying a basket filled with books. To Edward's surprise, the children greeted her by name. Not formally, not respectfully, but with genuine affection. Within minutes they were seated beneath the covered veranda while Clara read aloud to them. The sight felt strangely familiar. It reminded Edward of the young woman he had once known. The woman who used to spend hours reading stories to younger children during village festivals. The woman he had loved. A sharp knock interrupted his thoughts. He immediately stepped away from the window, annoyed with himself. Why was he even watching her? Why did he care? One of the elderly servants collapsed while carrying linens up a staircase. The poor woman had worked at Ashford Manor for nearly 40 years. Her health had been failing for months. The housekeeper sent for a physician. Most people expected the servant to be moved into a guest room and left to recover. Instead, Clara spent the entire night at her bedside. When Edward passed through the corridor before dawn, he found her asleep in a chair. Beside the woman's bed, a blanket covered her shoulders. An untouched meal sat on a nearby table. For several moments, Edward simply stood there. Something about the scene bothered him. Not because Clara was helping, because nobody was watching. There was no audience. No wealthy nobleman to impress. No advantage to gain. The old servant owned nothing, had no influence. Could offer Clara absolutely nothing in return. Yet she stayed anyway. Edward quietly left before anyone noticed him. But the image lingered in his mind for the rest of the day. A struggling widow suddenly received enough money to repair her roof. Several village children obtained school supplies their families could not afford. An injured stable hand discovered that his medical bills had somehow been paid. Each time Edward investigated, he arrived at the same answer, Clara. And every time he learned of another act of kindness, his frustration grew. Because it made no sense. Not if the woman he had spent 8 years hating was truly the woman he believed her to be. There, he spoke with several residents who had known Clara for years. What he heard only deepened his confusion. According to them, Clara spent most of her time helping others. She volunteered at the church. Taught children to read. Cared for elderly residents. Organized charity drives during difficult winters. Nobody described her as ambitious. Nobody described her as selfish. Nobody described her as someone who cared about money. Quite the opposite. The villagers spoke about her with warmth and admiration. By the time Edward returned to Ashford Manor that evening, his certainty had begun to crack. Just slightly. But enough to make him uncomfortable. While reviewing his father's correspondence, Edward noticed something unusual. Clara's name appeared repeatedly. Far more often than he expected. Letters. Meeting schedules. Financial records. Charitable projects. Over the last several years of his life, Richard Ashford had met with Clara regularly. Sometimes several times a month. Edward's jaw tightened as he examined the documents. Why? What could they possibly have discussed? And why had his father never mentioned it? The questions reopened old wounds. Perhaps Clara had not manipulated Edward. Perhaps she had manipulated Richard instead. The possibility felt ugly, yet comforting. Because it restored the version of events Edward had believed for years. A version in which Clara was still the villain. A violent storm swept through the county, bringing heavy rain and strong winds. Late that evening, one of the manor's oldest servants suffered a severe stroke. Panic spread throughout the household. Doctors were summoned. Family members gathered. No one knew whether the woman would survive until morning. The situation quickly became overwhelming. Yet amid the chaos, one person remained calm, Clara. Hour after hour, she stayed beside the servant's bed. She prepared cold compresses, organized medicine, comforted frightened staff members. When exhaustion overtook others, Clara simply continued working. The storm lasted through the night. So did Clara. And by sunrise, she was still there. Her eyes were red from lack of sleep. Her hands trembled from exhaustion. But she refused to leave. Edward witnessed all of it. Not because she knew he was watching. Because he happened to pass the room several times throughout the night. Each time, Clara remained exactly where she had been before, beside the servant, waiting, helping, caring, as though the woman were family. For the first time in years, Edward found himself questioning not Clara, but himself. Edward wasted no time confronting him. "I want answers." Suspected this conversation would happen eventually. "My father knew Clara, because he respected her. That tells me nothing. Your father often said that Clara Whitmore was one of the finest people he had ever met. There is something else you should know." The older man lowered his voice. "The condition in the will was entirely your father's idea." "What exactly did he say?" "I remember the conversation very clearly. If my son can spend an entire year living beside Clara Whitmore and still hate her by the end of it, then he does not deserve a single penny of my fortune." For several seconds, he genuinely forgot how to speak. His father had known. Known about his resentment, known about his hatred. And somehow believed he was wrong. The realization hit harder than Edward expected. Because Richard Ashford had rarely spoken in absolutes. Yet on this matter, he seemed completely certain. His father's words echoed endlessly in his mind. Eventually, he found himself standing outside an old storage room rarely used anymore. Inside were dozens of boxes containing Richard Ashford's personal belongings. Letters, documents, journals, memories. Edward began searching. At first, he wasn't entirely sure what he hoped to find. Then he discovered a small wooden chest tucked beneath an old desk. The lock had already been removed. Inside lay several bundles of letters carefully tied together with faded blue ribbon. His heartbeat slowed, then quickened. Because every letter bore the same signature, Clara Whitmore. Edward stared at the stack. Dozens of letters. Perhaps more. None appeared opened. None appeared delivered. His hands suddenly felt cold. Slowly, he untied the ribbon. Then he pulled out the first envelope. And before he even began reading, a terrible feeling settled over him. A feeling that his entire understanding of the past might be about to change. Edward Ashford did not sleep that night. The letters remained spread across his desk until dawn, each one dismantling a piece of the story he had spent 8 years believing. The first letter had been written only days after Clara ended their engagement. Her handwriting trembled across the page. "But there are truths I cannot tell you. Not because I do not trust you, but because telling you would destroy everything my family is trying to save." It revealed that Clara's father had been gravely ill. The family had been drowning in debt. The wealthy nobleman Edward had seen years ago had offered financial assistance. Enough to save Clara's father and prevent her family from losing everything they owned. There had been one condition. The nobleman wanted his own daughter to marry into the Ashford family and saw Clara as an obstacle. The arrangement was cruel, manipulative, and devastating. Yet Clara had accepted it. Not because she wanted the money. Because her father would have died without it. The next letter shattered him completely. "There are moments when I almost come back. But then I remember the look on your face if you discovered your future had been ruined because of me. You deserve a life free from my family's burdens. Perhaps one day you will understand why I left." 4 years, he had imagined Clara walking away without regret. 4 years, he had convinced himself she never loved him at all. Now he realized she had suffered every bit as much as he had. Perhaps more. Because while he had spent 8 years hating her, she had spent 8 years carrying the blame for something she never wanted. And she had done it alone. When he arrived, the older man looked unsurprised. "You found the letters. Why didn't anyone tell me?" "Because Clara asked us not to. She could have. Because she loved you. Your father offered to explain everything years ago. Clara refused." "Why?" "And if you tried to fix it, your own future would suffer. She chose your happiness over her own. Because they forced him to confront a terrible possibility. The person who had sacrificed everything had not been him. It had been Clara. But as someone he was seeing clearly for the first time. And the more clearly he saw her, the more ashamed he became. He remembered every cold remark. Every accusation. Every assumption. Every moment he had chosen anger instead of understanding. Meanwhile, Clara remained exactly the same. She continued helping villagers. Continued caring for elderly servants. Continued moving quietly through the manor as though she expected nothing from anyone. Least of all him. That realization hurt more than he cared to admit. Because Clara had stopped hoping long ago. And Edward was beginning to understand why. With it came the final months of the arrangement. The year was almost over. And for the first time since reading the will, Edward found himself dreading its conclusion. One evening, he discovered Clara sitting in the conservatory where he had seen her. Crying months earlier. The roses were in full bloom now. Golden sunlight streamed through the glass walls. For several moments, neither spoke. Then Edward sat beside her. You should have told me. For the first time, she seemed to know exactly what he meant. The letters. So you found them. Everything I believed was wrong. It doesn't matter anymore. The damage had already been done. Still, Edward refused to let the moment end. It matters to me. You spent years hating me, because there was no defense against the truth. The one-year condition was nearly complete. Soon the will would be fulfilled. Ashford Manor would belong entirely to Edward, and Clara would be free. The announcement terrified him. More than any business failure. More than any financial loss. Because for the first time in years, he had something worth losing. And he had nearly lost it forever. The cemetery was quiet beneath the evening sky. For several minutes, he simply stood there. Then he laughed bitterly. You knew. You knew exactly what I would discover. Richard Ashford had never been trying to force two people to live together. He had been trying to give them a second chance. A chance neither of them would have taken on their own. And somehow even from beyond the grave he had succeeded. Several villagers had travelled specifically to see her before she left. Clara hugged them one by one. Then she turned toward the carriage. Only to find Edward standing directly in her path. The courtyard fell silent. Nobody moved. Nobody spoke. Edward looked at Clara. And for the first time in years, he allowed himself to be completely honest. I owe you an apology. I owe you 1,000 apologies. I blamed you for things that were never your fault. I convinced myself you had betrayed me because it was easier than accepting the truth. And the truth is that I never stopped loving you. Because for once he had no certainty. No control. No guarantee. Only hope. Then he did something no one in Ashford Manor had ever expected. The Duke of Ashford dropped to one knee. Gasps echoed through the courtyard. Even the servants looked stunned. Edward ignored all of them. His eyes never left Clara. 8 years ago, I asked you to marry me. Today, I am asking again. The one he had kept all these years. I don't want another year. Then Clara laughed through her tears. A soft, beautiful laugh Edward had not heard in almost a decade. And finally, she nodded. Yes, and somewhere above it almost felt as though Richard Ashford himself was smiling. The wedding drew guests from across the county. Yet the most important moment came long before the ceremony began. As Clara prepared to walk down the aisle, she discovered a small envelope waiting in her dressing room. It had been left there years earlier by Richard Ashford. Inside was a simple handwritten note. Some people deserve a second chance, my dear. My son is one of them. I hope you will be kind enough to give it to him. Outside, church bells began to ring. And for the first time in many years, Clara Whitmore walked toward her future without fear. Not because the past had been erased, but because both of them had finally learned how to let it go.